We're back on Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth, John Vecchione, and Janine Yunus talking about the tremendous victory in SEC v. Jarkissi. And I got so excited, John, I neglected to give credit to our colleague Peggy Little, who is on vacation, or we would have had her join us for this segment. But she's been leading the effort for NCLA on the Jarkissi case from the beginning. And I know she was on an airplane when the decision came down, but I assume that as soon as she learned about it, she was up on cloud nine again. So kudos to her, and we may have to talk some more about this when she comes back from vacation.
I don't think we clarified that we didn't actually litigate this one, but we had litigated the same issue. We might want to explain.
Yeah, we've certainly litigated the jury trial issue, but this case is one where we filed amicus briefs at multiple levels, including in support of cert and so forth. And then Peggy has been involved mooting the case and doing lots of kind of, you know, I guess you'd call it behind the scenes kinds of
kibitzing things.
Kibitzing, that's a good word for it. So more than just your typical amicus brief effort in this case, but all credit to the actual counsel for George Jarkissi, Mike McCullough, and Karen Cook, who did a tremendous job in this case. And look, others told them, and when I say others, I really mean the Supreme Court bar in this town, told them that a Seventh Amendment argument stood no chance, and they refused to listen. And their perseverance and their tenacity has won a mighty victory against injustice. Kudos to them. I think, you know, we gave them the Cincinnatus Award at the NCLA 5th anniversary gala 2 years ago, largely for the work that they were doing, you know, on this case in the Fifth Circuit. And so I'm glad to see their efforts pay off. But John, you were telling me in the break that there's an interesting footnote,
So I think it's footnote four. And
it's always footnote four, John.
Exactly. And Atlas Roofing is the case that really cemented the administrative state doing this to everybody. It was basically an administrative case, and I've forgotten how Roberts has now differentiated it here, but that's not the important point, because Roberts always likes to say something isn't overruled when it's really been killed dead by something he just did.
He wants to kill it twice before he kills it.
Exactly. So, but in any event, the footnote says, well, the dissent says that Atlas Roofing is this great decision of ours, and yet it's not unchallenged. It's been criticized a lot, and then there's a footnote that I think goes on for two pages of all the commentators who have said Atlas Roofing is the worst. Okay, I'm boiling it down. This is a lot of scholarship, but we don't have time to go through it. But it's basically all the problems with Atlas Roofing, and then ends it with a sentence that says, "We take no position on these criticisms."
That's right.
I mean,
other than to list them in excruciating detail.
Yes, you know. I think unless they have Miracle Max and his pill, Atlas Roofing is mostly dead.
Yes. Well, I think you're right about that. I mean, it's certainly on the ropes, and and that's nice to see. What do you think, Janine? What's the logic of this decision? Does it apply to other federal agencies? Is this just the SEC? We started to get into that a minute ago, but this sure seems broader than that to me.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of agencies that have these kind of administrative proceedings.
Oh, yeah.
FTC.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
FTC.
FDIC.
DOT. I mean, basically every agency we've sued.
Yeah.
Okay, none of the ones I've sued.
Not State Department.
Yeah, and not ATF.
I guess not ATF.
Or HHS. That would be weird. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So they do have them, and now – you know, I think what he's saying is that if you have a license to do something, a license may be a public right, but they can't fine you it, I would think. I think they can take your – if you have a federal license, I would think they could still use an administrative agency.
I don't know about that, because that's not – first of all, it's not equity and it's not admiralty. So my initial thought would be
– is it property right?
It might be a property right.
But I'm trying – well, right now I'm trying to think, because I did see on Twitter someone ask, do they have to fire all these ALJs now? What are they going to do?
They're going to be like the Maytag repairman.
Well, how about this then? So the main ALJs are Social Security.
Oh, yeah, they'll still be fine. They're not affected by this at all.
Because that's a public right. They don't have a property right in it, right?
No, that's
a 1950s case. No property right in Social Security. They can do what you want.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking of. There must be other things like that.
Well, and we could return a lot of these ALJs to the Social Security Administration whence they came.
Yeah.
That would be a use for them.
Right.
If they don't want to go make an honest living in the in the private sector. But I think this definitely applies to other agencies. We've got lawsuits going against the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board and FINRA and some of these other entities. I mean, every one of our colleague Russ Ryan's cases is going to be implicated, I think.
He's glowing.
He's got to be.
Oh, you can't even stop him smiling up there.
I think I heard one of our colleagues say that they saw him do a sidekick like a leprechaun. I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly look. This is I was kidding John earlier, but this is a big deal case, and I think that the court got it right, or at least the majority of the court got it right. I know we weren't going to dig deeply into the dissent here, but there sure seemed to be some misunderstandings. Let me put it that way, on the part of Justice Sotomayor. We were talking a little bit about the efficiency point, but she also said that Congress might have had good reasons for putting these kinds of things together for transparency reasons.
Which, how is it's not transparent at all? You can't get anything out of these. It's not like they don't even publish these all the time. And the other thing she said, which is that this was a power grab. This is a power grab by the court over Congress. But that is not – the court is saying that people have rights and that the Congress can't take them away if they're in the Constitution. If her analysis of this being a power grab by the courts were right, every time somebody's individual rights was upheld against a statute in of anything, your rights not to be searched, anything, any part of the Constitution, if the court's stepping in and saying, nope, this is what the Constitution says, I mean, she might as well just say that guy Marshall was totally, totally wrong
and not Thurgood.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. John Marshall, all that judicial review, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, I found that a really bizarre notion. And particularly, look, transparency with any administrative agency is really hard to fathom as a justification, because they're steeped in obfuscation. And one of the – I mean, look, there are scads of administrative lawyers in this town who make their living off the basis that they used to be in the agency, and they know all of the secret decisions handed down by the agency that are never publicized, and so they can represent you in front of these agency proceedings because you can't just go and look them up. These are not available to see. And so the idea that there'd be transparency from this is bizarre. The idea that she would raise it in this particular case is just nutty. And the reason is because the SEC dismissed 42 pending enforcement actions in the wake of our victory this time last year, or about 14 months ago, in the SEC v. Cochran case. Why did it dismiss those? Because it didn't want transparency into what it had done with this.
Basically, the prosecutor could look at the judge's decisions, and the guy who was, because there's no real wall there, the ALJ's documents on a computer and the prosecutor documents were in the same place. They could look at it. So what they did is they dismissed 42 of those cases rather than have this looked into. And Gorsuch mentions it. He mentions this. Now, they call it a control deficiency,
right?
But what it is a commingling of information and a violation of the defendant's rights. Because if the ALJs have even a fig leaf of independency, it's that they're not showing the prosecutor the notes that they're doing that day.
Well, I have a different question. So we have another case called Lesh, where we raised the right to a jury trial in a misdemeanor case that involves a potential jail sentence, which the Supreme Court has said in the past is okay. And the district court cited that as a reason to deny our claim, although he did say he thought that the Supreme Court was wrong. Might the court be willing to revisit that in light of that?
Well, I'll tell you this, Janine. I'll give you either pay me $20 or I'll put you in prison for 6 months. How much? $20 gets you a jury trial, right? $20 in damages. Sure, seems to me if I'm in the Crossbar Hotel for 6 months, it's worth more than $20.
I would think so.
Yeah, no, I do. I think that the court, and look, we saw this in the Erlinger case, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, earlier this month, where the court talked about the Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights in and when you have to have a jury in order to fact find.
Yeah.
And so
to enhance sentencing.
Yes. And so I think this court is very sensitive to these jury issues. And so I like your chances in the Lesch case of changing that rule as well. I definitely do. Anything else that we haven't gotten to about this, John, other than getting Peggy's two cents?
Well, I think that the SEC it can get rid of some ALJs, and it better stock up on some trial attorneys, because it really is going to have to know how to do that. Yes, exactly. It's going to actually need to know how the federal courts work again. And they've been spending let's see, 2010, so 14 years letting their skills atrophy maybe a little bit.
Yeah, they have. And now, one last thought, though. The court didn't reach this issue on whether or not there are too many layers of protection for removal. And why didn't they reach that? I mean, it's been in front of the court now in Lucia, Gibson, Cochran, Jarkissi, and it just won't reach it. Why not?
It's the new Chevron deference. So I think the reason is because they had a huge majority on this. Everyone's statement's pretty clear. Their thoughts on this subject were very, very crisp. Everyone's were, where their position is. I'm not so sure how many layers and exactly when and how. I'm not sure they have such a crisp view yet, so they're letting it percolate. That's my view.
Yeah.
And they could solve this case without doing it. That's the other reason.
And it stands for one clean proposition.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's right. So congratulations to Peggy. Congratulations to George Jarkissi. Congratulations to his attorneys.